Blog Talk Radio.
Little something that talks about real love. Want to tell you a little story. The day of a love once strong that now has faded away. All that was said at the altar, what did it really mean? Were they just caught up in the moment of a little boy and little girl's dream? Yeah, it's kind of strange. People think that love is only what they feel. It's in the heart.
Welcome, welcome, welcome once again to Dying to Be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis. Winston Lewis at your service.
And Sandra Lewis as well.
Making the best of it. Lord have mercy. Just thank you all for joining us this evening. And if you'll bear with us, we're adjusting as is necessary. Nonetheless, no. Love never fails. Sister Lewis, how you doing this evening?
I am doing well and glad to be back into the, as they say, back in the saddle and ready to get back on this topic that we've been talking about, the Marriage 101 series. And if you have not heard the previous two, this is actually part three. So if you haven't listened to the first two, you are more than welcome to visit our website and go to our page, the Dying to Be Married page, at the Kingdom United Ministries Network website, and that's at www.kingdomcomenet.com, and then just go to our page, and there you can just click on one of the previous broadcasts. Now, we've been, again, we've been into the Marriage 101 series, and I'm looking forward to getting into that. But before we do, we are going to begin with a word of prayer. So if you would just allow me, I will be leading the prayer on this evening. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy and for all of your many benefits towards us. God, you've been so wonderful. You've been so faithful towards us, and we thank you for new mercies and for your goodness that follows us all the days of our lives. Father, we pray tonight, Lord, that you will prepare every heart. Lord, prepare us, Lord, to be willing vessels that will yield our bodies, our mouths, our voices over to you as instruments to be used by you. And Lord, we pray that your will be done. Your will be expressed. Your words will be spoken. And Father, give us new revelation, Lord, the things that we don't know of. But God, we ask that you will come in and even reveal some things to us, God. And we just want you to have your way this evening. And we thank you for all of your many benefits and all of your loving kindness towards us. Father, we lift up those who are going through tonight, Lord, at the loss of loved ones. Father, we lift them up before you. Lord, we pray that you will be that peace that passes all understanding, that you will comfort that broken heart right now. Father God, we know, Lord, that all of our times are in your hands. And Father, we just pray that you will comfort those who are hurting right now, Lord, because of the loss of that loved one. We lift up those who are going through financially, those who don't know how they're going to make it through. But, God, we know that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider, and we thank you, God, that you will provide all of our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We lift you up. We give you praise. We glorify you today, God, and we give you the praise right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Once again, we thank you for joining us for another broadcast on tonight.
Yes. Yes, we do. And I apologize for a few technical glitches, but that is part of this process, is making adjustments. Surely it is a key in this great matrimonial escapade of marriage, making adjustments. Am I right, Sis Lewis?
Right.
Surely that is part of Marriage 101, something that will absolutely be key in proceeding successfully, is making adjustments. And I am a living example of it as I live and breathe. Nonetheless, we press. You know, there are so many things that in this process that come to light when we're talking about our subject. And we want to kind of get right into this because there's so much here. If Sister Lewis, if you will read that introduction for us to get us going.
Okay. Matthew 18:19, and this is the King James Version. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Most people don't realize the power of U.S., United Souls.
Us.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
But from the very beginning, agreement was the creative power in making man in God's own image. Let us make mankind in our own image and in our likeness. That's found in Genesis 1:26a. The agreement of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is still in operation when the power of agreement is in operation in our marriages. And this is where we are going to pick up on tonight.
Yes. You know, you may be surprised and to say this, that I pray that you aren't thrown off by what may seem like a basic sounding message of Marriage 101. It was meant to sound basic, but truly there are great deep depths of this subject. Surely as complex and as powerful as marriage is, and in this day and time, this is why we're speaking of it, controversial even, it is a deep, powerful, rich, and yes, beneficial institution. Am I right, Sister Lewis?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you should know, and as it pertains to spiritual things, this is why there is such a war. I say war. I use that extreme word with a purpose for this situation. And we just happen to stand for the defense of holy matrimony. Yes, a defense, you know. In this day and time, there are many imitators and duplicators, but there is a real thing, you know. And that stands for everything we stand for in Christendom, the real thing, the truth, you see. One passage that comes to mind is in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, when the disciples were wondering who Christ is, and they even went so far as to say, well, if you show us the Father, we'll believe you, O Lord, the one that stood in front of them. And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing the passage in the 14th chapter, I believe it's the 6th verse, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me, you see. And in that respect, this is why we truly choose the truth. And I say the, I quantified with that directive and the elective of the, you see, as in a one and only, as in exclusive, because there are many duplicators and imitators out there, you see, in a climate where people deem marriage to be equal on every front, and anyone can get married these days in the eyes of some, maybe even the majority, as we are seeing around us. But you know, God didn't call us to be popular. As you see, the whole premise of worshiping an invisible God throws so many off. And, you know, this is why, you know, when Christ gave the word of following him, you know, he said, great and broad is the way to destruction, and there are many that go thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, when we follow him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And granted, these are those times we live in, where broad is the way to destruction. You know, and it reminds me that that includes the majority. The majority are confused. The majority are not aware. The majority are not sure of the way to go. Some are even, and may be, most are indifferent of the way to go. Most don't care, you see. But we've been called to stand as ambassadors, as representatives of our Lord King Christ, to point out his way through this word. And this is where we gain access to these truths. And that's why I tell you, Marriage 101, we're going back to the basics, the origin. Our stand is what God says about marriage, what God means about the great and powerful relationship. And that is where we have our subject. Am I right, Sister Lewis?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You see, the power of one. Power of one. Because there is a great power. It reminds me of the theme of our of dying to be married in the 5th chapter of Ephesians. You see, where we understand the power of what marriage is, and the Apostle Paul speaks in a prophetic terms to the church of Ephesus. I'll start in the 5th chapter and the 31st and read the 32nd, if you will. Sister Lewis, back me up with the Amplified Version.
Mm-hmm.
In speaking of marriage, for this call, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church.
You see, the great representation of Christ and the church is as marriage, the parallel that is representative of the institution of marriage is paralleled, compared to Christ and the church. And this is the way God meant for the original heritage of heritage of man to be representative of him, you see. And we began with the origin back in the book of Genesis, in the first chapter, when God created man in his image and after his likeness. And if we will, let's read the setup of this passage in the Genesis 1:26. In this chapter, you know, we find so many powerful things that, you know, this is why we revisit it often here, Dying to Be Mary, because there's so much in these early scriptures that explain who we are. In light of the times we live in, when we are surrounded by blurred lines and gray areas, you see, where, you know, people, though they dance on the around things as if on eggshells to be politically correct these days, not to offend anyone, they try to make everything equal. They try to make everything the same, and everything is okay, and everything goes. Am I right? You see, but, you know, there are some distinct parameters that God established, and there's ways. There are ways that he established in the beginning how he meant for man to be, him being the creator, the intelligent designer. He had a plan for mankind. And granted, though we're not puppets on strings, you know, just dancing to his tune, and as he's given us free will, there are yet laws in place. There are yet truths that God tells us about who we are that helps us to understand who we are to him, as well as who we are to each other. And in this 26th verse reading, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beast, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth.
Let's continue. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God he created him. Male and female he created them.
Let's go on and read this last verse here, the 28th. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over everything that moveth upon the earth.
And God blessed them, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth.
Yes. You see the power of this here? To give man the authority in the beginning over the earth, over this planet, this precious commodity that it is. And note, in his speaking, you see, speaking in his pluralized unity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you see, the great spirit of God, the originator, the creator, speaking his word and breathing the breath of life with his word, his breath giving action to his word and manifestation to his word. In one, the unified God spoke as one. Let us, huh? Mm-hmm. Create mankind, humans, in our image and after our likeness. Note that us, you mm-hmm. see, several personalities working as one with one purpose, you see, That is the image that God created as male and female. We know how Adam was the individual that was created when God spoke this. But he spoke an overall purpose of what was meant to be as humans, knowing that later he will bring woman out of man, but intentionally bringing them back together as one flesh. You see, yes, that's basic, but that's powerful. That's mind-blowing, if you will. Separating the two, distinguishing their characteristics, making them, note this, different, unified, with the same unit as one in marriage. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And, you know, one of the things that when we started in that Ephesians the fifth chapter of Ephesians,
mm-hmm.
and we started in the 31st verse where it says, for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to go back.
Mm-hmm.
What reason?
Surely. And, you know, I did that on purpose for the sake of just introducing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we come in this day and time, in the middle of the race. We come in where the program is in progress. And, you know, we all are born into this and we learn traditions and we learn the ways of how things are. And surely I wanted to do that same thing. But taking that snippet, as we come in, we see and we wonder, well, why are things what they are? And, you know, this is why we have so much confusion today, because people haven't taken the time to know why. And who knows better than the Creator? So let's get more into that fifth chapter. Just wanted to set this up in the beginning, dealing with our origin. But, yes, let's go back there, Sister Lewis, in the fifth chapter of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. And where he begins to talk about the different aspects, when you were talking about how he took the woman out of the male and then brought them back together again.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a very good passage in displaying what Christ's relationship with the church is, so that we get a better understanding of what God's intentional or his original purpose for marriage was.
Uh-huh.
And because we know that we're in a day and time where people are seeking to redefine what marriage is,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they want to define it apart from its original intent.
Mm-hmm.
This is what man seeks to do.
Right.
But in this chapter, he's very specific in this, where he talks about, and you see the differences in the characteristics of the wife and the husband,
right?
But the purpose of them together.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to start in the 22nd verse.
Okay.
Well, let's start in the 21st verse.
All right.
Okay. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. And again, I'm reading out of the Amplified.
Well,
I'll
tell you what. Let me start with the King James.
Then. Okay.
Let's go hand in hand down this way. Note the different characteristics of my version, her version, saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You
right.
see, because there's a power in that.
And let's
say this, too. And this is not just about the marriage, as we're going to see in this passage. This is not just the marriages that we see of man and wife, male and female. It's not just about that. But keep in mind, as believers, we are Christ's spouse.
We are the bride.
So
yes.
It helps us understand our relationship with him as well as our relationship with each other,
mm-hmm.
you see. And that's why, you know, the greater truth of dying to be married is about our Christendom, our relationship as believers. So keep that in mind as we proceed. 21st verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord.
Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject in everything to their husbands.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her.
Now, stopping right there, Sister Lewis, you wanted to take up the beginning of this. You were going to say?
In this particular verse, because we see here that he's talking to each one and their specific role as it concerns marriage itself.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has a responsibility.
Right.
Each one, regardless of the other, has their expected
mm-hmm.
position,
uh-huh.
attitude, service.
Uh-huh.
They both are to serve one another.
Right.
And as you see, he gives no leeway or no room for them not to, because as he said, in each one of these, it's as unto God.
Mm-hmm.
So my submission to you is out of reverence to God.
Yes, it is.
Your loving me as Christ loved the church
mm-hmm.
is as a service and as unto God.
Yes.
So when we look at this, we can't look at our spouses. We can't look at one another through the eyes of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at it through the eyes of God's intended purpose.
That's right.
Because as you read in the first chapter in Genesis, there's a reason why
mm-hmm.
he created man and women together to subdue,
right.
to replenish,
that's right.
to have dominion
uh-huh.
over. And this is something that we have to look at, because I think that this is one of those things that has been taught in error in the church. We get domination and submission mixed up. In the beginning, when he said that he created them to have dominion, and then he goes on to list the things that they are to have dominion over. That is a direct relationship to what we are supposed to be in this earth. In our marriages, we are to have dominion over things. We are to have dominion over everything that involves our lives. But we're supposed to be submitted one to another.
Right.
There's a difference in having domination and being submissive. Submission is a person's voluntary will to the will of another. It's voluntary. It's not a dominant action. It's not submission if it's forced. It's submission if a person voluntarily wills. We see this in the garden with
right.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, the man,
right.
didn't want to die. Jesus, the man, didn't want to face what he was about to face.
That's right.
But his submission to God's will
That's right.
was that not my will,
uh-huh.
but yours be done. Domination would have been, I'm not going to do this, and he could have not done it. The Bible says he told Pilate, no man takes my life, I lay it down.
That's right.
If he wanted to, he could have called legions of angels at his beck and call. That would have been his dominant. That would have been his authoritative part.
Taking authority.
Exactly.
Authority. Mm-hmm.
And that would have been his position. He could have done that. But submitting to the will of God was, I would rather submit my will voluntarily, Father. I'm going to lay down my life because this is what you require. It's not what I want and not even what I don't have the power to do. But because I reverence you and because I submit my will to yours, I'm willing to lay down my life.
Note the order, the humility that was necessary to dying to one's self, hence dying to be married. And this is, when you talk about the mystery and why marriage is so complicated in the eyes of humans, especially today when there are so many options, stay single, shack up, live together, same sex, you see, it's because mankind hasn't taken the time to know the purpose why he was created. Why so many men avoid marriage? Why so many couples find themselves at the table of irreconcilable differences? Because they didn't take the time to find out beforehand what they were getting themselves into. This is why they break up, you see. But back to that purpose, that first thing that God gave them to do, be fruitful. There is only one way to truly be fruitful in the eyes of God. Am I right?
And specifically at this time.
And note, one way.
Mm-hmm.
I am the way, the truth,
right,
and the life.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and Jesus speaking about himself being the way, he's a seed. When you talk about him laying his life down, he said, lest the corn or grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. You see, but if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. Speaking of how we procreate, it takes a man, seed, and a woman truly be fruitful. Now, you know, there are other ways that people are doing things these days. Lord, have mercy. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
You have the sperm donors. You have test tubes. You have some have even used turkey basters, from what I understand. Lord, have mercy. And they're coming all kinds of other ways, adoption. But you see, as the Lord made the distinction, I am the way.
Right.
You see, noting that I've given instructions how this is to be. And the great confusion that people have over marriage and why they don't work, why they fail, and why you have broken homes, why you have the depravity in our communities, is because people have tried to seek another way.
Mm-hmm.
People have tried to do it in their own way, as Christ showed us in the garden. It's not our will, but it's God's be done. That's where you see the success. And even, I must say, calling out our fellow believers, when you've tried to do it your own way, you will find the same results, you see, that the world has. And we've been called to know the difference. That's why we're taking the time. But we're going to pick this back up after this word from our sponsor. You are listening to a broadcast being brought to you by Kingdom United Ministries Network.
The mission of Kingdom United Ministries Network is to unite, promote, and expand the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sake of souls. The vision of this ministry can be found within the theme of Matthew 25, verses 33 through 45, which in essence is what you have done to the least of these, you've done to me. We invite you to visit our website at www.kingdomcomenet.com. That is www.kingdomcomenet.com. Through this network of ministry broadcasts and online features, we are touching the world for the kingdom.
our weekly broadcast, which airs each Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m., Dying to be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis, deals with the true process of holy matrimony between a man and a woman and Christ and the church. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. Matthew 19:6.
Our monthly lineup is the first through the fourth Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and can be accessed via their web pages listed on the website of Kingdom United Ministries Network. There you will also find previous archives and relative ministry resources.
For our women's ministry, which airs on the first Saturday of the month, we have Naomi's Daughters, hosted by ambassadors and women on fire, Sandra Lewis, Latoya Walker, Kathy Thompson, and Sister Linda Mariah. Stop by Kingdom Kitchen for inspirational blogs. And visit our sister site, Minister Debbie Miranda's Radiant Tree Productions, LLC, for holistic health and organic skin and hair care products and information. Find us on Facebook.
On the second Saturday is Kingdom Foundational Truths, highlighted by Ambassadors Winston Lewis and Antonio McCoy, which is an open conversation of foundational truths that every Christian should know second nature, highlighting the basic principles of Christian faith, while reserving the right to go deeper and prompting open discussion.
On the third Saturday, we have Kept on Campus, which is a ministry that broadcasts serve as a monthly forum for young adults to tune in and discuss what's happening on our campuses, both physically and spiritually. Join in the conversation and encourage others to participate as well. Let's talk about what's happening on your campus, in your community, or in your life. Find us on Facebook at https://kept on campus.
And on the fourth Saturday, Kingdom Kids Network. Kingdom Kids Network is our youth ministry and is hosted by Junior Ambassadors Clinton
and Imani, and we are
Kingdom Kids.
Together, we are reaching our peers, talking about the challenges of our youth and the solutions for Jesus Christ.
Visit our website and view other ministry features and resources, including previous guest websites, Bible resources, blogs, and much, much more. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, visit our expansion and donation page, where a secure donation can be made, or write us and mail in your donation to Kingdom United Ministries Network, P.O. Box 51661, Kalamazoo, Michigan, 49005. If you'd like to be a guest on any of our broadcasts or are led to become a part of this network, send us an email by going to the broadcast page and provide us your contact and ministry information, or send to KUMN at KingdomComeNet.com. Follow us on Blog Talk, or send us your email or social media information for regular updates. And as always,
you are welcome.
Yes, yes. Welcome back once again to Dying to be Married with Winston and Sandra Lewis. Winston, yes. Lewis at your service.
And Sandra Lewis as well.
I didn't get to do that introduction due to my mic just falling apart.
Nobody would have ever known.
You
could have played it off. Nobody would
have
known.
It's about truth. And I want to take the time to stand with my partner back-to-back in this foxhole of faith. We're fighting back-to-back in this foxhole of faith, and I'm here to welcome you all to fasten your faith belts, because we're on a ride,
yes.
You see,
yes.
As we're dealing with this subject that we have found to be of great controversy these days. You wouldn't think, but it is. And so we have it. And, you know, truth be told, it affects us all.
Right.
It affects us all. Mm-hmm. After all, this institution is the crux of our society. It is the pinnacle of our society. How man relates to woman and how they relate to God. It is at the pith of all that's going on all around us. When folk wonder why we have the depravity we have, when folk wonder why we have the state and the dysfunctionality of families, you see, and thereby our communities, it's at the root of this truth of what marriage is. When people wonder why churches are not as effective as they are, it is at the root of this truth of what marriage is. As Christ is to the church, so is marriage. You see, thereby this is the power of and gaining this understanding and then implementing these truths in our lives, this will change all that's around us. That's why we're taking the time to go back to the basics. But, you know, we must add an appendix to the word from our sponsor as we speak about our other broadcasts. As this
right.
is our flagship broadcast.
Right.
We have others. Yesterday we had.
Yes, yesterday we had Kingdom Kids Network.
Mm-hmm.
And our junior ambassadors, Clinton and Imani, were joined with two other you'll be hearing much more from them. Expanded Voices.
Mm-hmm.
It was Caden and Kiera Walker, and they are the children of Ambassador LaToya Walker.
Right.
And so if you didn't get a chance to listen to Kingdom Kids Network on yesterday, go back and listen to that broadcast. And also keep in mind, if you have children, grandchildren, you have a youth group or kids in that age group, get them to the – they're going to be on the computer anyway.
Right.
They're going to be on the Internet. Have them on there on the fourth Saturday of every month
right.
at 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And let them call in. Let them join in the conversation.
Exactly.
Just as you have the ability to do this on these broadcasts, they can also do it with your permission
sure.
on the fourth Saturday of the month.
You talk about interactive. You know,
yeah.
get them involved throughout the month. Have them
yeah.
Email, have them contact.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is the whole idea. When we're talking about changing our community,
yeah.
it begins here
mm-hmm.
in these situations. Give your children something positive to be
right.
plugged into.
Mm-hmm.
Upcoming, this coming Saturday.
Right. This coming Saturday is going to be the first Saturday broadcast of the month, and that is Naomi's Daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So please join us on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. and join in with us as well.
No, surely. Women are on fire. Praise God. The power of unity.
Yeah.
You know, and it brings us back to Doe.
Mm-hmm.
Unity.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's choice as it is who He is. Father, Son, Holy Spirit as one. The Holy Trinity shows the unity of the Godhead, but also us as His body in this earth are to be united. And that's what marriage is representative of, a unity of two individuals of separate characteristics and makeup,
mm-hmm.
Operating as one.
Right.
Where one may be weak, another may be strong. Where one may be astute, a mother, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's the combination of the two.
Right.
Our differences are make us powerful as we couple each one.
Right.
You see, and that's truly the power. You know, we got into the scripture. We laid it out, and we've been in scripture to set up these truths for this reason. We just recently celebrate what we call our Passion Week. It was where, and this is, you know, the nitty-gritty and the ugly truth of the blessedness of where we are. And it says God blessed them in that garden.
That's right.
And he intended to bless them in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
He meant for them to be spiritually satisfied,
mm-hmm.
you see, with his setup for mankind.
Right.
But there are some ugly truths that had to occur. Lord have mercy. And he knew these ahead of time.
That's right.
Well, in our situation, our passion, yes, we're talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. You see, the good is what God says. The bad is what we seem to experience.
Right.
And sometimes that formulates into the ugly truth, you see. And 16 years ago, 1999, from July 16th through July 23rd, mm-hmm. we found ourselves homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Through, after 3 years of following God by faith and seeing miracles, mm-hmm. we found ourselves homeless. It
yeah.
was the cross that we bore. For 7 days, we were literally on the street.
Right.
And Sister Lewis and I are writing about this experience. Yes, it's taken 16 years.
mm-hmm.
Working together is a labor of love. Because truth be told is how this ministry was birthed.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean literally.
Right.
From homelessness to operating a homeless shelter.
Right.
You see, the mission here in our town. And it was in that week that it was like our commencement exercise, if you will.
Right.
We graduated from Holy Ghost University, being led by the Lord, and found ourselves experiencing the most powerful and profound things that affect us to this day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a time period where we entered into our wilderness 3 years prior, a dysfunctional family, and emerged functional. We emerged tighter than we ever have, and to this day we remain that way.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how we know this word works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some folk may argue with their opinion of how we found ourselves 16 years ago, homeless.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how could you all, and we've heard this, literally
mm-hmm.
heard this several times, various times,
mm-hmm.
how could you say that gave God the glory?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that was good for your family?
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that it was God that led you that way?
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of such a thing. But I'm here to let you know of our experience.
Right.
It was God. And
mm-hmm.
he kept us. And we lived by this word and applied this Matthew 18:19.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what got us through united souls today.
That's right.
Us together.
Right.
You see, we got through. Not just Sandra and Winston united.
Mm-hmm.
But us as Christ's body in this church, we united with his word. We united with the Godhead, came through it. And this is what we're passing on to our children. It's the same thing they learned in that Bible in the beginning.
Right.
Am I right?
Right.
Learn to relate to God, thereby learning to relate to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's the basis
right.
of what how God meant for us to be fruitful. Am I right, Sister Lewis?
You know, something that you said when you said it took us 16 years to write about this. And, you know, I'm reminded also that the Gospels weren't written right away.
No, they weren't.
You know, that there were several years before the Gospels had been written. But I know personally, as you were saying, there was some good, there was some bad, and there was some really ugly things that we endured.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I know is that it taught me for the first time what the word becoming flesh
mm-hmm.
really meant.
Yes.
You know, up until that experience, I know I can say that I had a nominal relationship
mm-hmm.
with the Lord. I was a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, going in, one of the first tests that I had going in, the first word that I actually heard, he told me, every time I tried to bring you to another level of faith, you always had someone or something to fall back on. So I could never go any further because I was always dependent on people, my job, whatever it may be. But he let me know. He said, but you are going to learn to depend on me, and I will sustain you.
Surely.
And when God speaks, you know, I just recently heard a woman say, you know, that God doesn't speak audibly. Well, I can't say that he spoke audibly to me that day, but I can say that I know that it was the voice of the Lord that spoke to me, because the peace that passes all understanding immediately came with the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where I was mentally, emotionally. I know where I was prior to that word. But when God speaks a word, when you get a word from the Lord, there is a peace that comes to you that passes understanding. And I have experienced that many times since then. But I can say that one of the reasons for me having taken so long to actually put this down is because we're being very transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some ugly truths,
absolutely,
you know, that we have to deal with, mm-hmm, when we're telling the story of what God did in our lives.
That's right.
And keep in mind, this is our story. This is our journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say that you read something or hear something that we did and you automatically go out. If you don't have a word from the Lord,
let
you better not.
Let me drop this disclaimer. Don't try this at home.
Exactly.
Batteries
exactly.
Not included.
You don't want to. But there is something, and I'm just, you know, just kind of fast forward really quick to the time after we were in for a few months. There was one time in particular that we met with my dad. And during this process, during the three-year period, my dad went on to be with the Lord. But prior to him going on to be with the Lord, he said something to us that, for me, it got me through so many of the times that we faced that it didn't look good. It didn't look like we were going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, kid, whatever you do, stand by your husband. He said, there's nothing that the two of you won't be able to do as long as you are together.
That's right. Before we close, let's read this Matthew 18:19 and just sum up that Passion Week. Matthew 18:18-19. And it reads, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven.
Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven.
Again I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, harmonize together, make a symphony together about whatever, anything, and everything they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven.
Literally. This is what happened on the 16th of July, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
They had told us the night before that they were coming to evict us. Okay? And it was a house I grew up in, house I own. My parents passed on, and my sisters chose to leave it in my care. I was raising our family. My wife and I were raising our four boys
at the time.
And they came that morning. Early morning, we had a service. It was Holy Ghost filled. And yet, we looked down the street, and it was a street full of police cars. City, county, state troopers. Two of them came in, one with a shotgun and another with a handgun, pointed at us, you see, came and removed us at gunpoint. And because they thought we were crazy, they'd heard about us, and we were yet there, we had not moved out, and they came guns blazing, you see. just to paint a quick portrait of the ugliness. Mm-hmm. And they set us out, set our possessions out on the street. Street I grew up on, in for some 20 years, you see. Just to let you know, everybody knew me and my family. And we were out there on that street, you see, literally, broad daylight. And everyone came from miles around to see this situation. Police cars lit up down the street, guns ablazing, being set out. You talk about being on a cross with my wife and children, you see, just to set that up. And everything pointed to us getting to a safe place. We had no idea. We had no funds. We didn't have a plan to go anywhere. And yet this was our situation. This took all the faith we had. Yep. And I tell you this, we took this scripture and we stood on it. Matthew 18:19. Okay? Whatever the two of you shall agree. We'd been living by faith. We'd been seeing God do some miraculous things, got us through some miraculous times, and we have a profound testimony. And that's why we're writing about it, praying that it blesses someone else to functionality. Mm-hmm. Out of all the things that was tearing us up before we entered in this wilderness, all of the little things, you see, this was that thing that probably should have broken us apart altogether.
Right. Right.
It only made sense that we separate and get to a safe place and me get somewhere of familiarity where I can work and get us back where we need to be, where my wife and children can have somewhere safe and secure to be. And her family lived out of town, and my family lived there in town. We were planning to split up for the sake of being functional. But the truth was, God called us together, and our plan was to stay together. And I asked my wife in this time of great humility, honey, what do you want to do? What do you want to see? Forget about what you think it could be. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And you said,
I said, I want a house. I said, I don't want to live up over anybody. I don't want anybody living over me. I don't want to nobody living right next to us. I want a house with all of our electricity on. I want with all our utilities is what I said, and I want all of us to be together.
You see, because we were without electricity for 9 months, you see. And she spoke.
So when you say people thought we were crazy, if I were on the other side, I would have thought we were crazy.
As I would too, you know, because I saw people like this. I saw people go through this.
And I thought they were crazy.
And so did I.
So,
but to experience it, here we were. And we were in agreement that that's what we desire.
Mm-hmm.
Before the end of that week, we had exactly what we'd agreed on.
Exactly.
We were in a house. We were all together, all utilities on, in one place.
Yep.
And God got us there.
Mm-hmm.
That week, he got us through so many things. We saw miracles. We had enough to do everything we needed to do. Mm-hmm. Within a month, we thought it would take us years to recover. People had told us to our face, you're going to ruin these children.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Right.
And within a month, we were in full-time ministry together.
Yep.
You see, and serving people who were homeless.
That's right.
And what we found was that this was the Lord preparing us to know how it felt that we could be effective witnesses to help others.
That's
why we do what we do today, some 16 years later.
Exactly.
This is our passion, to bring you all into a functional state under God.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it together.
That's
you
right.
can do it. Because we're here as living witnesses.
That's right. And as representatives of Christ, everyone, Jesus said, if you desire to come after me, you have to first deny yourself, take up your own cross, and follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And for everyone who desires to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're going to imitate him, there's going to be something that you are going to have to do and go through yourself that has to. When you get there, you have to look at it. It's not just about you, but you have an assignment in this earth that only you can do like you. And so when you're going through the difficulties in your life, when right now a lot of people, you're going through things and you don't really know how to make sense of what you're going through, because before you got to where you are now, you had a word, you had hope, you had encouragement, you were motivated because you had a promise from God. But right now it seems like anything but what God promised you. But we just want to let you know, hang in there. You're not where you are for no good reason. God has you where he has you for a reason. And we want you to be strong. Stay committed. Stay in God's faith. Know that he's faithful. He who has begun a good work in you is faithful to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. He has not forgotten about you. You will make it. You will see your promise. You will get through this present pain.
That's right.
But we have to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured his own cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father. He has already shown you what your end is going to be. So just go through it. Endure it. It's not going to be long. You're going to be coming through this, and you're going to come through it with a profound testimony. Right now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord over your life,
yes,
we want to give you the opportunity to do so right now. Father God, in Jesus' name, we come to you a sinner. I come to you a sinner, God. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again on the third day. And I believe, God, that right now, as I give my life to you, that you're going to do in my life what I could never have done. And I just commit my ways to you and ask you to do with my life as you will. Father, I pray for everyone who has prayed that prayer that they will know, lay hold of this salvation, lay hold of their deliverance, lay hold of every promise you have given them, O God, that they will realize that the promises of God are all yes and amen. Father, I pray for the families, those who are going through their own wilderness right now, who don't know, they didn't know until they heard this broadcast, that what they're going through is a wilderness and that they are going to come through and they're going to come through victoriously.
Yes.
Father, be with them right now that their faith will not fail, that they will endure to the end, that they will fulfill the ministry that you have called them, oh God. Father, we thank you right now, because we know that you're faithful. You're faithful, God, to perform every promise that you have given us. And we will give you the glory, the honor, and the praise.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for another broadcast. We invite you to join us again next week and invite you again to join us for that as well as Naomi's Daughters next week. God bless you.
Even one, you are God bless you, my flesh, bone of my bone. We are one.